told you my city was the best, and my city was a threat to the rest.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We are very happy that you are hanging out with us on a football Friday. And Friday means we do this. We have Friday forecast. Our producer, Jason Gibbs, takes it away.
All right, guys. Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Question number one. Do you think the Browns will draft two quarterbacks?
I think it's conceivable, especially with... I'm going to use the word hijinks that I think are going to go on in the first round. I think
that's interesting.
I think with two first round picks, with all of those upper tier bonus picks that this team has among the 10, that the movement is in my mind likely. And I wouldn't be shocked if they don't make a pick at four. They maneuver around to get maybe a little lower to target somebody. Maybe that somebody being a Derek Carr from Fresno State. And putting him at the value spot that they see, if all their research and such is accurate as they think it'll be, and do that. This is just my speculation. This is not inside information. I'm telling you this is how I view it. And in the course of that, you could even have that extra pick that comes from the downward move to put somewhere in the whatever round it is, third, you know, fourth, however, whatever additional pick you pick up, and Mr. Second Quarterback is chosen there. That's the scenario I see.
Yep. I see the way you're going, Vic, and I'll be more definitive and real quick. Yes, yes, I do see it happening that the Browns are going to select two quarterbacks. You're probably going to see one, maybe, unless they feel that, you know, they can grab one they really like as the, one of those preferred free agents, Vic, without having to draft. But I could easily see sixth round, possibly, you have a selection of one of the quarterbacks we've been talking about today or some of the other names we've thrown out there. I'm going yes, absolutely.
Question number two, guys, Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo? Who's the better quarterback?
I'm Carr all the way. Carr's got the better arm, in my view. Carr has – they probably cancel each other out on the feel thing and in the big picture vision thing, but I think it's Carr.
Yeah, I'm with Vic on that. I'm going to go Derek Carr because of, you know, what we've seen. I'll grant you he – and everybody's looking at the USC game, his bowl game, where he did not shine, but it's a pretty productive body of work at Fresno State, so I'll go Derek Carr, yes, for sure.
Question number three, guys. Chris Johnson today cut by the Tennessee Titans. What team does Chris Johnson end up on?
You know, I've seen a lot of speculation today that the New York Jets may be an opportunity for him. So that wouldn't surprise me there. Look, this is going to be an interesting transition because what are you getting with Chris Johnson? You're not getting that guy in his prime. If you were, he'd still be a Tennessee Titan. He's available because there's been a drop-off in production, and people have seen a little more hesitation hitting the hole. Those sorts of questions have been there. I think he still has some rare athletic ability. I'd like to see him in an offense that utilizes him as a guy who catches the ball, and that might be the case with Marty Morningweg running that offense in New York.
I'm right with you, Vic. I'd be surprised if it wasn't the New York Jets. That's who I immediately thought of with him because Morningweg and what they did with LaDainian Tomlinson, they love making that kind of splash. It is New York City, after all. I see him in the Jets uni.
Final question today, guys. Favorite opening day memory can be any sport. What is your favorite opening day memory?
Wow. Well, I'm gonna stay in the football world. You know, that's the world in which I've spent the majority of my career and my life, and that's pretty much all I do is this football thing. So I'm gonna go back to an opener that took place in, and I want to say I want to say it was New Orleans. I want to figure out the year. It would have been right 2006 after Katrina, and it was an opener in the sense of opening the Louisiana Superdome, reopening it, where the Falcons and the Saints played each other, and it was a really an amazing day. A former Brown was in that game playing for the Saints, Scott Fujita. There were a lot of moments in that game that just were incredible, but I couldn't walk into that place and not think of all those horrendous images that you saw during the course of Hurricane Katrina.
Understood. Well, I'm going to keep it with the Browns on the football side, and I'm going to go back to 1994 because, Vic, you remember that started off what would be 11-5 season, right, for the Browns, and a playoff win over Bill Belichick's mentor, Bill Parcells, ultimately, as the Browns beat New England. Vinny Testaverde, the starting quarterback. But, Vic, as the Browns beat the Cincinnati Bengals that day, 28-20, it was down at Old Riverfront. Two big things. Randy Baldwin, 85-yard kickoff return touchdown, and our buddy, Eric Metcalf, 92-yard punt return for a TD. Two returns and one game touchdown. Browns start an 11-5 year with a season-opening win over Cincinnati, and let's hope we see something like that again right now in 2014, Vic.
Oh, that would be so sweet. You got to get off to a great start. We know that much about Browns history, is that it does, if it doesn't start right, doesn't end right.
No, so hey, real quick, baseball. My first year here at Cleveland, 1983, the Tribe behind a George Vukovich Grand Slam home run beat the Baltimore Orioles, who were, of course, you know, a perennial World Series, about 80,000 at the old stadium. Yeah. Mike Hargrove led off, Vukovich Grand Slam, and young Julio Franco also homered at shortstop. And, Vic, I had just come to town then as I was weekend sports anchoring at Channel 5, so that one will always stick out in my mind.
Oh, very cool memories, both of them. And again, as we're talking about this, so many others flood to mind, but Well, you know what? I got to throw one out there, but I remember this this opener in 1986. The Buffalo Bills had just brought Jim Kelly aboard after he had gone to the United States Football League for two seasons, and this was the return. Home of a guy who actually had not set foot in Buffalo yet because they had drafted him in '83 and he never played there because he signed with the USFL or didn't play there as a rookie or a second year. He comes back. And the Bills are opening up the season against the New York Jets at what was then known as Rich Stadium. And, you know, I bring this up because Jim is fighting a fight of his life in New York, battling cancer. And but I remember him lining up, and it was, you know, such a bad surrounding cast at that time that he had in Buffalo. And Joe Klecko, and I know he did this on purpose, had a false start, but he didn't just false start to make a little contact with the offensive lineman in front of him. He false starts the off through the line, comes blasting through, and knocks Kelly right on his keister. And it was like a welcome to this league, buddy.
Yeah.
But you know what? Jim Kelly goes on and has a Hall of Fame career from that opening day in the National Football League, so I'll never forget that.
Nobody better than Jim Kelly, man, and Godspeed to him. He's a battler. He'll make it, Vic.
I pray that that's the case. And I know everybody who sends their good wishes, he appreciates those. All right. We want to thank several people for being part of the show. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mike Brad, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Illinois, joining us. Keith Wenning, the quarterback from Ball State. Appreciated hearing from him. The Browns are going to work him out tomorrow, according to Keith. A private workout at Ball State. Joel Goddett, who is the play-by-play voice, from Ball State, and he joined us to talk more about Keith Wenning. We appreciate, of course, the work of Megan Rock tweeting throughout the show, putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that you'll hear, or read, I should say, later today. You can hear, of course, clips from this show, segments of the show in on the new and improved ClevelandBrowns.com. Our great producer, Jason Gibbs,
for
putting
Gibbs
together an outstanding show. And Reg, Michael Regi, thank you for filling in so ably for Nathan Zagura and for getting Keith Wenning aboard.
Notorious anytime for you, buddy. Love it.
And for everybody out there, have a great weekend. Hopefully we get the Tribe game going today in the weather. Opening day at Progressive Field, so enjoy that. And for Michael Regi, I am Vic Carucci. We will talk to you again. And by the way, Julian Gerard come up next. We'll talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You know you go mess around and find out there ain't no one better. Take back the night.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.